Good evening. It's good to be able to come together to study this evening. We're going through a study of the book of Psalms, and we're looking at Psalm 34 this evening. If you'll turn there in your Bible, we have several things that we want to cover this evening, so we'll go ahead and get right into it. We have several questions and applications. So the first thing I'd like to do is read the text together. Let's read Psalm 34 together. This psalm is about how the Lord delivers the righteous. You'll notice in verse 4, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 7, and delivers them. Verse 17, and delivered them out of all their troubles. And then verse 19, Jehovah delivereth him out of them all. And so there is a there's an emphasis on the Lord delivering his people. And this becomes a psalm of praise or thanksgiving for that deliverance. Let's read the text together. I will bless Jehovah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in Jehovah. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify Jehovah with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Jehovah, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of Jehovah encamped round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that Jehovah is good. Blessed is the man that taketh refuge in him. O fear Jehovah, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Jehovah shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Jehovah. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of Jehovah is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cried, and Jehovah heard, and delivered them out of all of their troubles. Jehovah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Jehovah delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be condemned. Jehovah redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that take refuge in him shall be condemned. So there's an emphasis in this psalm on deliverance. And if you look at the subtitle, a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed, it is thought that this reference is to the incident that is recorded in 1 Samuel 21, if you'll turn with me there. 1 Samuel 21, when David feigned madness before King Achish of Gath so that he would be left alone. Now, in 1 Samuel 21, if this indeed is the background or the historical background to this psalm, of course, David is before King Achish, and the subtitle says Abimelech. So some commentators believe that this would be a reference to a completely different story, or it's possible that Abimelech may be another name for Achish, something along those lines. But if this is the story, read with me 1 Samuel 21:10. And David arose and fled that day for the fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? This is back in reference in 1 Samuel 17, where David killed Goliath. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then Achish said unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and so forth. So this may be the background to this psalm, and it was the way that God delivered David. But even if it's a reference to something else in David's life, we know that he was pursued by Saul and many others, and the Lord delivered him. Something else about this psalm that I wanted to mention, notice that it has 22 verses. We studied this earlier. There are 9 psalms that are called acrostic, meaning that the first letter of the first word in the verse is a successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet. There were 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And you remember, you might look back at your notes, we studied this in Psalm 9, Psalm 10, and Psalm 25, if you'll look back at those sometime. And by the way, I've been meaning to mention this. If you don't still have those first 25 psalms and you want them again, I can make you a copy of all of those where you can have all of that. Or if you weren't here for that study, you're welcome to that. Just let me know and I'll get you those lessons again. But an acrostic psalm, the first letter of the first word, it would be like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, going down through our alphabet. Well, they did that because it helped them to remember the first word of that verse, and it also helped them to memorize. They would use it as a memory device so that they could memorize the chapter. Now, in this particular psalm, there's 22 verses, but it's called an acrostic that is a little bit different. Two letters, the letter He and the letter Vav, are used in one verse. Well, if they stopped right there, you would come up one short. So the author, David, or whoever it was, repeated the letter pay, which sounds like our P, in two different verses, verse 16 and verse 22, and so it jumps back to 22 verses again. So this psalm was, this device was probably used to help memorize this psalm. And it is a psalm that describes the Lord as a deliverer, a savior and redeemer of the righteous. Okay, let's start with our questions. Matthew, we'll start with you. Number one, what does the psalmist promise to do at all times? And who will hear it? Right. So even in difficult times and bad times, the psalmist always praised God. And we need to learn about that. We may have bad things going on in our life, but we need to be joyous and we need to be praising God. Number two, Janice, what does the psalmist call upon his readers to do with him? Okay. The Lord delivered him, and he wants to exalt and magnify God for that. He's to be praised for that. Okay, Mandy, number three, what happened when the psalmist sought the Lord? Right, so we need to pray to God. God will hear us. God will answer us. We need to come to God. Call upon him and he will deliver us. He'll do that in different ways. In the Bible, we have some miraculous deliveries, but we also have God delivering us today through his providence. So we need to continue to pray for that. God stands ready to hear that. Okay, Sean, number four, what happened to those who looked to the Lord? Right. And so, there's a blessing that comes when we look to God in prayer, and we will be exalted and encouraged and built up when we do that. Brittany, number five, what happened when the poor man cried to the Lord?
The Lord heard him and saved him out of all
trouble. Okay. And this poor man, verse 6, may be the psalmist describing himself as this poor man. It could be a reference to others whom the Lord has delivered, including the poor. But God will hear and God will save. And that's really the theme of this psalm, that the Lord delivers, the Lord saves. He looks down on us. He sees our daily life. He's not uncaring about that. He's not unconcerned. He's not off somewhere ignoring that. He sees everything that's going on. And so we need to come to Him in prayer for help in those types of things and ask for deliverance from those things. And the Lord will certainly help us. Yes, Shannon.
If you go back to that First Samuel passage, it talks about the people that were in debt.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I don't know. I know that when they came to Him at the cave of Adullam, you know, there was a refuge there for them and safety and security. And so God certainly saved others other than David. And He certainly saved. And this idea of the poor shows up in the Psalms a lot, that He looks down and helps them as well. So there could be a reference to that. I'm not sure. It's a good observation. Number six, what does the Lord do for those who fear Him? Mike?
He rescues them from their
own. Right, and notice the reference to the angel of the Lord, and I noticed I had a misprint on that in the notes, but the angel of the Lord is found several times in the Old Testament. He represents the Lord, He does the Lord's bidding, the Lord's work, and in this case, He is doing the work of deliverance and help. We find Him just different places right before going into Jericho, Joshua chapter 5 and other places. But if you read Psalm 91 verse 11, the Lord uses His angels to help His people. We can't say today this was a guardian angel, but if you look at Hebrews 1:14, they're His ministers and they do His work. And He could certainly be using them in His providence or behind the scenes even today, I believe, to help people. But we have the angel of the Lord is delivering the psalmist and helping him. But notice it's those who fear Him. We have to reverence and respect God. And when we fear God, there will be no want or lack. He'll provide for us. So it's conditioned upon fearing God. And also there in verse 8, taste and see that Jehovah is good. That expression means to personally experience the Lord. It would be like know Him firsthand. We would say today, try God for yourselves or something like that. And that expression there, taste and see, is probably referenced in Hebrews 6:5 and also in 1 Peter 2:3. Some people believe that 1 Peter 2:3 is like a quote from verse 8, taste and see that Jehovah is good. But it's experience God through daily obedience to Him and serving Him. And all of us can say here this evening who have been Christians for some time, we can look back and say we have experienced the goodness of God in our life. We've personally experienced that. And the psalmist is encouraging others to do that very same thing. Okay, number seven. Eric, what does the Lord do for those who seek Him?
Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Right. And so seeking the Lord, fearing the Lord is the condition there. And when we do that, He'll take care of us. The animals, the young lions, animals may be lacking, but God is not going to allow His own to lack. And of course, the psalmist says in another place, I've never seen the Lord's righteous begging bread and that type of thing. So God takes care of His own. It may be in ways that we don't understand or that are different than what we want, but God will take care of us in our life. Okay, number 11, Joyce, who does the psalmist want to teach and what does he want to teach them? Okay, so starting back in verse 7, he's been talking about those that fear Him, those that fear Him. And then he says, I want to teach you about fearing the Lord. Here are these people who fear Him. They don't lack anything. They're taken care of. Let me teach you what it means to fear the Lord. And so in the next few verses, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, this is what a person does to fear the Lord. This is how he shows the fear of the Lord in his life. So he wants to not only have that for himself, but teach others what they can do to have the same thing. And of course, that's important for us. Literally, the children, you know, we need to be teaching them, but those who will listen. Okay, what is this fear of the Lord then? What is involved in that? Well, that's our next question. What does the man who wants to see good days need to do and not do? Jake, if you'll take that one.
He needs to keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit, he needs to depart from evil, and then he needs to do good, peace, and pursue it.
Okay, so he starts off with things that you don't need to be doing. You don't need to be using your tongue for evil. You don't need to be using your lips to speak guile, which means deceit. That could be an outright lie or some other deceitful way of speaking. We've got to be careful about that. It's easy to do. And then number three, depart from evil. Just flat out stay away from bad things. There's some things that we don't need to be doing in order to enjoy life and see good days. And see good days is not what we think a good life is. It's as God would have us, the good that God wants for us. Okay, so we have to stay away from these things. But then there's the positive. It's not just about staying away from bad things, but it's also about positively going out and doing good things. And so he says, and do good, practice it. That reminds me of the lawyer who came to Jesus and he wanted to argue with him. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, the one who goes, go out and do this. He talks about the Good Samaritan. And it's not just talking about good, it's getting out there and doing it. And then, look at this, seek peace and pursue it. So positively working to seek peace and pursue it. Look at that. Look at that peace in our own life, in the local church, with others. How is it going to happen when each and every one of us are actively seeking it and pursuing it? It doesn't just come accidentally. It doesn't just come because we weren't trying and we just sort of bumped into it. We have to work at it. Paul talks about in Ephesians 4 to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit. You have to work at it. And when it doesn't happen, it's because we're not working at it. We're going along, and all of a sudden there's a problem. We weren't seeking peace. We weren't pursuing it. We weren't actively trying to have it, and so it's not going to happen. Any thoughts on that or any observations on that? There's things that we have to actively stay away from. There are things that we have to actually and actively be doing. So peace is not just like a pill you take and you get it after a few minutes. You have to work at it. You have to work at unity. You have to work at peace. You have to work at these things in our family, in our home, in the church, with friends. You got to work at it. And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. And so it doesn't happen. But so seek it and pursue it. Okay, so things to stay away from, things to actively engage in. And then we will see the good days that God wants for us in our life. When we don't do these things, then there's just nothing but trouble. Okay, any other observations or thoughts on that? Okay, sharing number 10. Who are the eyes of the Lord toward, and who is his face? Who is the face of the Lord against?
Toward the righteous and the crying, against those who do evil.
Okay, so we're learning what it means, verse 11, to fear the Lord, to fear the Lord. Well, to fear the Lord, we're going to have to stay away from some things. We're going to have to pursue some good things. We're also going to have to pray to God and, cry to him and so forth. But we're going to have to stay away from just this evil life and then think, well, God will still hear me. No, the face of Jehovah is against them that do evil. We can't just continue living our sinful life and expect God to hear us in our prayers. It doesn't work like that. So we have to, this is all about fearing the Lord, learning how to fear the Lord, learning what to do to fear the Lord. Okay? So let's have an attitude of a life where God will hear us and not just turn his face against us. Okay, Patty, number 11. What happens when the righteous cry to the Lord? Right. This is similar to what we looked at earlier. Verse 6, he heard the poor man and saved him. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. He answered me and delivered me. And so this repeated theme of when I cry to God and I'm living the best I can live, then he's going to hear me and he's going to deliver me. Okay, he's not if I'm just continuing in my evil ways. Okay, Shannon, number 12, who is the Lord near and who does he save? Okay, so again, who is he going to hear? Verse 18, the humble person, the contrite person, the one who's repentant, the one who wants to live right. He's not going to hear, verse 16, the one who just continues in his evil and I'm just going to live the way I want. That's not who God listens to. So it's all about humility. A broken and contrite spirit means repentant, humble, someone who truly wants to make a change. Before we go any farther, I wanted to mention when we were back there on verse 12, 13, and 14. This is quoted by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, so let's turn over there. Any time that we're looking at these Psalms and there's references in the New Testament, definitely want to take time to look at that. So when you look at these verses, you find that Peter quotes them in 1 Peter 3. And this was one of our applications. How does Peter, anybody, how does Peter use this passage? How brethren should treat one another and be living as Christians. It starts back in verse 8, so let's start there. 1 Peter 3, 8. It's talking about the attitudes that brethren should have one toward another. Finally, be ye all like-minded. He's speaking to brethren, he's speaking to the elect, chapter 1 and verse 1, Christians, be like-minded. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded. Do you see how that fits in with the verse that we just read, broken and contrite spirit? Not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrarywise, blessing. For hereunto were you called that you should inherit a blessing. Well, what's the blessing? The blessing is he that would love life and see good days. That's the blessing. If you want that, if you want to love life and see good days, it's a blessing. So then he quotes this Psalm 34. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they should speak no guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears upon their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. And so it's in the context of Christians who are to live right and act right, one toward another and toward themselves. And if they want their prayers heard, they've got to live this way. And so it's a great quotation by Peter there, and he puts it in the context of Christians who want a blessing. They have to live a certain way. Okay? Number 13. Did you take one, Shannon? I can't remember. Yeah, you took number 12, right? So the Lord saves the broken and contrite spirit. And then Larry, number 13, what does the Lord do for the righteous and what does he do for the wicked? Right. Notice in verse 21, the wicked person is going to be condemned, and then the exact same word is used in verse 22. The righteous man, the one who takes refuge in him, will not be condemned. And we have a choice. We can be condemned or not condemned. We can live evil or we can live righteously. And the righteous are going to be delivered from their afflictions. He will keep his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Go ahead and turn over to John 19, please. John 19. The evil are going to be slain. They're going to be condemned. And so we have a choice. And the Lord doesn't just group everybody together and everybody gets the same reward or punishment. It's going to be based upon if we're righteous or we're wicked. God is just and fair and upright, and each one will be judged accordingly. This passage, Psalm 34, is referenced in John 19 with regard to Jesus hanging on the cross. You remember when the Roman soldier came and pierced his side? He said that he saw that he was already dead. If you look back up at verse 32, the soldiers therefore came and brake the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they brake not his legs. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. And he that hath seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true. Verse 36, for these things came to pass that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Jesus is also described as our Passover lamb, and the Passover lamb, no bones were to be broken, Exodus 12:46. Jesus is also our sacrifice, Numbers 9:12. Some of the sacrifices, their bones were not to be broken. So all of these passages together, and particularly the Psalms passage, is fulfilled here in Jesus dying on the cross. Now, look at verse 32 and 33. If you're hanging on a cross, they would often put just a little seat there, and the person would be nailed in their hands, and then would be sitting a little bit, and then their legs would probably be bent over a little bit, and then nailed in the feet. You can actually push up on that bottom nail. It hurts. So if you break the legs, you can no longer push up on that bottom nail, and you just die immediately. So what they do is they come up to you and they break the legs, verse 32. It hastens the death because you slump down and your lungs get crushed in and you can't push up to breathe. You're so slumped down that you can't inhale. You can only exhale. Well, you're going to die. So they break the legs. That's why they do that. Well, when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. And one pierced his side, and the idea of blood and water coming out, that right after death, blood begins to separate, and you can have a watery substance from the red hemoglobin substance, and you can actually have that separation not long after death. And so that's an interesting medical thing going on there. But that's why they broke the legs, so that the people up there on the cross could, it would hasten their death. They can no longer breathe. So not a bone was broken. Well, this is interesting, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Who does God take care of? He takes care of the righteous. He delivers the righteous. And so he's thinking about his son and so forth and that type of thing. And so we have the fulfillment there. Okay, any other thoughts or observations on that? Let's look at some of these applications. Matthew, back to you. It is good to bless and praise and magnify and exalt the Lord at all times and continually. Let's go back to Psalm 34. Notice that the psalmist is doing this at all times and continually, not just when things are going great. And that's something that we can all learn. What does the Lord give at all times, Matthew? Right, he gives us peace at all times. He gives us blessings. Why not turn around and praise him? What are we to do always, Janice? Yeah, give thanks. And we can all learn to do better at that. That needs a question mark, I just realized. How often are we to praise God? Mandy? Yeah, continually. The fruit of our lips, continually. Okay? And the Lord delivers his people. That's really what this psalm is about. Sean, what did God do with Joseph, Peter, Paul, and Lot? If you want to just summarize all that. Yep. Right. All of those verses say that the Lord delivered or the Lord rescued these individuals. What prayer did Paul ask of others, Brittany?
Pray for
Yeah, and that's a good prayer to pray even today. There's a lot of bad people out there, and pray to be delivered from that, where we don't have to, have some conflict with them. We can pray to be delivered from, Paul says, evil and unreasonable men. I like that, unreasonable men. People that aren't thinking right and doing right and acting right. Who delivers from the wrath to come? Mike? Yeah, the Lord delivers us from the wrath to come. So there's a deliverance that we need to be thinking about in the judgment day. And we need to be delivered from that wrath to come. And that's through Jesus Christ. Okay. Eric, the angel of the Lord delivers. What did the angel of Jehovah do for Hagar and for Gideon? Right, she was out in the desert, right, and thirsty, and the Lord provided water for her. And what about Gideon?
The Lord, this says the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.
Right, and he helped him to fight his battle with the Midianites. Okay, what role do angels have? What is one role that angels have, Joyce? To minister. And we've had a lesson, it's been a long time ago, but about, you know, does each one of us have a guardian angel? I don't believe the scripture teaches anything like that, but angels in general are the Lord's ministers. And look at verse 14, on behalf of us. And so they're doing something, they're serving in some way. And I believe providentially he can still use his angels to serve us in some way. We can't say exactly how, because the scripture doesn't go into all of that. But we can say that they do minister to us. Okay? Jake, number four. What did the psalmist declare in Psalm 37:25?
That he had not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread.
Right. So this is from that section there about those who fear the Lord, they're not going to lack anything. The young lions, they'll lack, but not us. And I've never seen the righteous begging bread. God always finds a way to step in. And I don't know if you've ever seen that in your life. I can say that I've seen it in mine, where right at the moment you think you need it the most, bam, God's there. He does something. That's happened in my life, and it's just amazing how that works. What will not be withheld from the upright, Sherry?
An abundance of peace.
Okay. What do we learn from Matthew 6:33, Patty? He's going to give us all the food, shelter, and clothing. He'll give you all of these things. If we seek first his kingdom, he will make sure that we're taken care of in all of these ways. What will God supply, Shannon? Right. And what comes down from God? Yeah, all of our needs, Philippians 4:19, not all of our wants. He'll provide all of our needs. And so that may be what we want and what we need, may be two different things, but God will provide all that, because only good comes down from heaven. Right. And it's not going to be just scarcely doled out, you know, just like a bare minimum, but he richly supplies us what we need. It's a good thought. Larry, what did Paul tell Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2? Right, so verse 11, I'm going to teach others the fear of the Lord. And that's really what we need to be doing. When we learn something in this class, we don't just need to keep it to ourselves. It's so that we can learn and go out and teach others, not just our family, but others. We're learning so that we can turn around to be teachers. I learn, and then I try to turn around and teach that which I've learned. And so let's take our sermons, our Bible classes, our personal Bible study, and turn that around into teaching others. So the psalmist wanted to teach others. I want to stop right there. There's some other great things that we could look at, but I want to sing a couple of songs before we close this evening. And we've already really talked about number six, which is good. Let's be thinking about who the Lord hears. If we're going to persist in our sin, the Lord just does not hear us. And that's the Psalms passage, the Proverbs 28:9. If we turn our ears away from the law, He will not hear us. So be thinking about that. Make sure that what we say, we're on praying terms with God. And if we're not, then we need to change our life. Number eight, when we try to live righteously, there's going to be affliction, but the Lord will deliver us. And we have a choice of whether or not we're going to be condemned or not. In the judgment day, there will be those who are condemned. There will be those who aren't. And the choice is ours, depending upon how we live now. Let's sing a couple of songs based on Psalm 34. This verses 1 through 10 is to the tune, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Let's all sing together. I will at all times bless the Lord. His praise my mouth will always voice, and in the Lord my soul shall boast. The poor will hear it and rejoice. Come, let us magnify the Lord and praise His name in unity. I sought the Lord and in reply from all my fears He rescued me. How radiant those who looked to Him, their faces free from shame shall be. The Lord heard when this poor man cried, and from all trouble set him free. Encircling those who fear the Lord, His angel camps and rescues them. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. How blessed are those who trust in Him. Revere the Lord, all you His saints. Young lions may at times lack food, but none who fears and seeks the Lord shall be deprived of any good. Let's see a few verses of the next one. Verses 11 through 22. Based on the song, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus." Let's all sing. Oh, come, my sons, give heed to me. I'll teach Jehovah's fear. Who longs for life and loves full days that he may see good here. Refrain your lips from speaking lies. Keep back your tongue from ill. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace, pursue it still. Upon the race of righteous men, the Lord has set His eye. His ears are open unto them, that He may hear their cry. The face of God is set against all who do wickedly, that He may fully from the earth cut off their memory. The race of righteous men cry out, the Lord to them gives ear. Delivers them each one to free from all their troubles here. The Lord is always near to them who have a broken heart, and He to those in spirit crushed salvation will impart. The righteous many trials has from all the Lord sets free. He keeps in safety all His bones, not one can broken be. Ill shall the wicked slay condemned, or all who hate the just. The Lord redeems His servant's soul, condemns none who Him trusts.